ITS Coffee Break for Friday, May 30th, 2008.
On this week's edition of the ITS Coffee Break, we'll let you know about some blogging going on Soapbox. We'll give you our summer reading list and let you submit your own. We'll also talk about some digital journalism and some updates with Google.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. My name is Ken Newquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And we're doing this different this week.
Right? We are indeed.
We are using the H2, which is MP3 audio recorder, right? Well, actually, I guess technically, does it record in MP3 or does it record in...
It'll basically record in anything you tell it to record in.
Awesome. But this is part of the audio kit in Skillman Library. So one of the things that I wanted to do this summer was experiment with some things with audio. Thus, I thought I would try out one of our kits. Also, this allows us to promote our kit.
That's right. And actually, they have gotten quite a bit of use.
They have. I think it was a really brilliant idea. I mean, Jason worked really hard to get all this together. I guess we all tested them, but
yeah.
They're really cool. And let me tell you, folks, people are exceedingly envious of the H2.
That's right, because not only do we have one of them, we actually have two of them.
That's right. And you can just come to Skillman Library and sign them out for, what, 24 hours?
Yeah.
Thereabouts?
Or 48? I don't remember.
24, 48, whatever. when you come here and pop down your card, they'll tell you what it is. But I was at Balticon this weekend, which is a science fiction convention, but there's a lot of new media stuff that goes on there. And there were a lot of folks talking about the H2, getting out H2s to record sessions. And it's a good little machine. Now, this particular kit that we have actually includes a lapel mic, right?
Yes.
So you can either do it freestanding like we're doing right now. And I believe it's recording two-channel stereo.
I believe it is.
Which is a step up from our usual Logitech USB $20 mic.
It is indeed.
So, but...
I wonder if anyone will tell a difference, though.
I don't know.
Can you tell that my froggy voice is coming from the left channel?
I guess that will
be the question.
That will be the question. If you sound more to the left and I sound more to the right, then I guess we'll know. But in any case, yeah, so we're geeking out about our microphone. But there's also some stuff going on Soapbox.
That's right. I'm really excited to report that Pete Zaney... Pete, sorry if I'm butchering your last name, from biology is actually blogging his field notes from Oregon.
Which is really cool.
It's very cool. I actually have been looking forward to his posts. I go in and check to see that he's posted something new. But he does research on lizards. And so I find this quite interesting.
That's pretty cool. So you can check it out by going to www.lafayette.edu/tilde soapbox.
And he'll be blogging all summer. So you can keep up.
Is he uploading photos too?
If I will email him to tell him how to do that, he plans to.
Okay. next up, do you want to utter the words about Blackboard and do a little dance maybe?
Blackboard is retiring as of July 1st. So for those of you who may be listening who still have things on there that you may need, you need to get them off quickly.
And if you need help,
give us a call.
You can talk to an instructional technologist and they will help you get the stuff off
Blackboard. Yes, I've been working diligently to gather people's things and move them into Moodle.
But we're not kidding. It's really going away.
Yeah, this is no joke. It's not like, oh, it'll sort of be there, but not.
Or, you know, if I really ask nicely, I'll be able to teach one more course for the fall. No.
Right, no. No, actually, people have been threatening to shut off the power for, like, weeks now, so.
Yeah, occasionally we get an email from the network center saying, hey, can we turn off Blackboard? No, we really did say July, so we're going to stick with July, as tempted as we are to turn it off.
That's right.
Now, the other thing was we wanted to say hi to the first-year students who should officially receive their CDs now.
And a lot of them have, and a lot of them have already logged into Moodle, and some of them have already posted information about themselves and, you know, other stuff. So cool. It's very exciting to see them getting on and checking things out.
Welcome to Lafayette. Let's see. To our nightly friends, we'll be seeing you all soon at the nightly Moodle Users Group meeting coming up in Tacoma, Washington.
That's right.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it's a long trip, but... And it's going to be tiring. It's because we have I guess I'm doing two presentations. How many are you doing?
Three.
See, that's going to be a little bit exhausting. But three and a poster. We are getting there a day early, right? So that's we have right. a little bit of time to work right. on stuff if we need to.
However, I will have a tag along because Kelvin's going to come out with me and it's my birthday that week. So
right.
we're going to hang out and go to Vancouver after.
Nice.
So make a long weekend of it after the.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're looking forward to going out to Tacoma and the University of Puget Sound and meeting our fellow Moodleites there within Knightley. And the last thing I just wanted to note, because this is actually pretty cool and it's a milestone that just kind of blew past us without even noticing, but this is our 52nd episode.
Woohoo! Go ITS Coffee Break.
Yeah.
So what started out as a, hey Ken, what do you think if we do a podcast for a couple episodes just to like show people what a podcast might be like?
Yeah, it just keeps on going. Yeah. And that's not even including the two or is it three editions? Special editions. So we're actually like around 55, but that's cool. Pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
So thank you to our dedicated listeners who've listened to even a quarter of the 52 episodes. We appreciate you.
So in tech news this week, I thought we could start off by going down our reading lists.
Yeah, so this is something we've done. We did it at least last summer.
I think we've done it both summers.
And I think we did it, yeah.
I guess we could do this alternating. So I'll do one and then you can do one or you can do one.
Yeah, except for that I'll run out a little bit before you, but you start.
Okay. Well, the first one, some of these may sound familiar because some of these were on my last summer's reading list and I just never got to them. So one of the things that I'm doing this summer is not buying any more books. Which was really hard for me because I went to Balticon, a gazillion science fiction and fantasy books, but I had also a huge stack of books that I haven't finished or started at home. So I figure, okay, this summer I'm just reading stuff that's on my bookshelf. So to start off, I have John Scalzi's The Last Colony, which is the third book in a trilogy he did, which started with Old Man's War, which the original Old Man's War was about basically in this alternative world or in this future world, when you get to be, I think it's 65 or something like that, you get to join the army and they give you a new body, but then you have to go fight in intergalactic wars. So this is the third book in that series. So it's pretty cool. It's kind of Heinlein-esque, meaning like Robert Heinlein.
Right.
And it's a little bit space opera, a little bit military science fiction. So it should be a good read. All the other books I finished in a weekend. So this will probably be the only book I buy this summer because I don't actually have this one.
Ah, did you read maybe the second one last summer?
I did.
Because this plot line is sounding very familiar.
Right. So I think I read the Ghost Brigades last summer, which was the previous book. And then this, I think this book came out at the end of last summer or something like that. So
okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, my reading list, you'll sort of notice a theme, but basically I compiled my reading list and I actually ordered the first three for the library. So I confiscated them as they came in and, I'm determined to read them. The first one is called Distinctively American, the Residential Liberal Arts College. And I'm excited about these selections because they are things that have been talked about at conferences this year, and I just haven't made the time to read them. So my goal is to read at least a chapter every day at work to really sort of focus on it. But basically what this text does is sort of look at the heritage of the liberal arts school and how that is distinctively American.
Cool. And kudos to reading like career, like
I know
education type books.
I'm trying.
I don't think, well, who knows, when I finish reading my books maybe I'll be able to have lessons that I could draw into.
I'm sure you will.
I did last year, like, yeah. Werner Vinge's The Rainbow's End was all about higher education and next generation libraries and stuff, but I don't think any of mine are gonna do that. But anyway, next up is Neal Stephenson's Quicksilver, which is a prequel of sorts to a book he wrote called Cryptonomicon, which was just an awesome book about cryptography and mathematics, and just it was the original Cryptonomicon took place between I think World War II and the modern era, and cryptography discoveries in World War II affecting stuff in the modern era. So the ancestors of the characters from that book are in Quicksilver, and Quicksilver takes place during like the early 1700s. And it's all about adventures in the Age of Enlightenment. Hmm. So main characters are running into folks like Isaac not Isaac Asimov, Isaac Newton. Asimov was old, but not that old. So I started reading this. I got about a quarter of the way in, and I just, it wasn't hooking me when I tried this before. So, like I say,
try it again.
I'm going to try it again because there's three books in this series, and I love Stevenson. This is the first book that I just haven't really been able to get my teeth into that he's written. So I feel obligated to go back and try again.
Well, following along my theme here, my next one is actually the one that I've actually started. And it's called Rethinking University Teaching, A Framework for the Effective Use of Learning Technologies. So I'm interested to see what they have to say.
Nice.
You know, I'm hoping that these will make for good conversation with faculty when they return at the end of the summer.
I love the contrast between our books because my next book... is John Varley's The Golden Globe, in which humans get kicked off Earth by invading aliens and are forced to live at the edge of the solar system. So we basically become kind of fringers in our own house. So this is, in particular one is set out like in the outer orbits of like Pluto and stuff. And it's really interesting. This is actually a sequel to a book I read back in college called Steel Beach. And again, this is actually somewhat inspired by Robert Heinlein, but in this book, gender is kind of amorphous. So the main characters in Steel Beach, actually the main character in Steel Beach, I think changed sex like two or three times during the course of the book. Really wild stuff. So I have very little idea about what the Golden Globe is about, except that the main character is an actor. But should be interesting. It's all about like political intrigues at the edge of space. And a lot of it has been about, at least in the previous one, is a kind of like post-human philosophy. Like what happens when you start changing up people? And what does gender mean when you can switch it at the drop of a hat just because you feel, well, you know what? I think I'll switch things up and be a woman for a couple of years.
Bizarre.
I know, it's completely
bizarre.
It's interesting. So who knows? Again, not probably a lot of direct
correlation
to what we work on day to day with Moodle. Yeah, but you know.
Sometimes you need a break.
Right.
Well, the third in my little series here is called Reframing Organizations. And this is actually a little bit of an older text by Lee Bowman. I think the one I have is maybe a second or third edition, but I've just been thinking a lot lately about sort of, you know, working organizations and, you know, I guess since I'm in sort of a pseudo leadership role, just trying to think about ways to make our organization more effective and to be able to get more done and have people feel valued and that their work is valuable and things like that. So continuing with my theme there.
Continuing with my theme of really weird stuff, I have Ursula Le Guin's The Lathe of Heaven, which this was actually a mini-series on PBS at one point, either PBS or BBC. I'm not quite sure who it aired on, but it's actually quite famous. And it just a new edition of it just came out. And the idea behind this is that a man realizes that his dreams can affect reality. Hmm. So he has an exceptionally vivid dream about something, and then that happens. So, for example, one of the early examples was his aunt had moved in with him when he was a kid. She was kind of creeping him out. So he had this dream that she died. And lo and behold, in the real world, she was dead. So what happens in the course of the story, and it gets into the action really quickly, so I'm not giving anything away, is this guy basically gets arrested for abusing drugs because he's trying to suppress his dreams because he realizes he can rewrite reality by dreaming. The responsible thing to do would probably be not to dream, right? So he goes to see this, I guess, psychotherapist who's going to help him with his dreams and deal with the drugs and such. So the psychotherapist, from what I understand, starts abusing him because he realizes that, hey, this guy really can change reality with his dreams. So he puts him under hypnosis and then, from what I understand, starts trying to manipulate this guy to change reality to his own whims. So... Hmm. It's very famous. Ursula Le Guin also is a very famous science fiction author. She wrote The Wizard of Earthsea, which is a fantasy series, and she also wrote The Left Hand of Darkness, which was another one of those kind of gender bending novels in which an offshoot of humanity ends up being like unisexual, so they can change gender based on I think seasons or something.
Huh.
I don't know. I read it back in college, but kind of like frogs can switch based on like what the needs are. this offshoot of humanity also did that, but
weird.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad that my dreams don't become reality, because I ate some really spicy food this week and it would just have been bad.
Right. So, yeah, I can see that that would definitely be horrific.
All right. So breaking away from my first theme, just so that you don't think I'm all, you know,
Studious and such.
I will be reading Certain Girls by Jennifer Weiner. It's her follow-up to a book called Good in Bed, which was just hilariously funny. I love Jennifer because I feel like I have a lot in common with her. She was born in Big DeRidder, Louisiana, and she actually got her start in journalism and is actually in the Philly area.
Wow. I can see why you might relate.
So I sort of have this, like, you know, kind of weird, I mean, I'm not a stalker or anything, but I just, you know, can kind of relate, and I think she's just hysterically funny. So I'm excited to just have that one as my leisure reading book.
Cool. So my last book is actually a patio book. I don't know if our listeners know what a patio book is.
I think you should probably explain that.
Probably. So a patio book is basically a book that's being released in podcast form. So just like you went and you downloaded this particular podcast, same idea, but basically on a per chapter basis. And the book I'm reading is called The Seventh Son by J.C. Hutchins. And this is actually an amazing story. He started podcasting this novel, I guess, about 2 years ago. And this is right about the time I started at Lafayette and stopped listening to audio fiction because I just didn't have the time. He podcast this novel. He did the amazing amount of promotion to really build it up, get a good subscriber base going and such. As a result of this and his efforts with this, he got a 2-book deal with an honest-to-God publisher.
It's very cool.
Very, very cool. So I got a chance. I've been following his stuff for a while. I've listened to a little bit of his stuff here and there. But it's a fascinating story. I mean, it's just a really cool way of just seeing how you can do an end run around the normal. Well, you sell a couple of short stories, and then maybe, you know, you get an editor's attention, and then you finally, you know, get an agent and get published. You know, he went an entirely different route, and it worked. So Seventh Son is, that's the interesting new media angle. The story is actually about 7 clones who have to hunt down their progenitor. So there's a Johnny Alpha, who is the main clone, and I haven't actually gotten far enough into the book. I think I'm about chapter 5 or maybe chapter 6 right now. I don't know what Johnny Alpha is trying to do, but I assume he's up to no good. And he has these 7 clones who share his memories up to age 14. But then each of them have their own lives from that point. Mm. And they've all just been pulled together and discovered that they are clones. So I think if you like thrillers, really good book. I mean, really good book. I was pleasantly surprised at just how enjoyable it's been. So
just to clarify, is this actually the audio, or is he...
This is audio.
Okay.
So he recorded it himself. And I think that's actually one of the things that comes up with if you're going to try and replicate what J.C. Hutchins did, and another podcasting author who did this was Scott Sigler, who just released I think it was Infection over the summer, or a couple weeks ago. He has really good production values. He went in and edited out all the ums, you know, he's got really good teasers for music and such, and he just did a fantastic job with recording this. I mean, it sounds like a standard audio book. It's that good.
It's a very interesting sort of thing to think about. And I mean, you know, and think about it in terms of, academic publishing and in terms of student projects and things like that, because I think there's a certain, you know, it's one thing to be a writer and to write good work, good fiction. And then there's sort of this other skill that you have to actually be able to have the audio for the book.
Right.
And, you know, most times audiobooks are not read by the author.
Right.
So I think it's really kind of fascinating to think about the possibilities of that and that model.
It is, and it kind of goes back to our whole... You know, being able to know how to do multiple things and knowing how to have the skill set that you need to graduate from college these days a little different. And, you know, how being able to edit an audio and edit audio, record audio, you know that some of the tricks of the trade, it really comes in helpful. Not everybody's going to record an audio book, but, you know, it's still useful skills to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess that concludes our musings on our summer reading lists, and we'll report back at the end of the summer and let you know how we did.
But if you want to let us know what you're reading this summer, you can send us an email at itsblog@lafayette.edu. Now, we actually have some honest to God tech news as well.
We do indeed.
The first thing I came across was through the Brian Alexander's blog at Nightly. Why can't I remember the name of it off the top of my head?
Liberal today?
Education Today?
Yeah.
Yes. I believe this was there, but it was in my feed, so this sounds like a Brian thing, though. It was digital journalism, Google Maps, and blogging in San Francisco, and this was just a really cool idea, and I could definitely see people doing this in Easton and at Lafayette.
Right. Yeah, I am tempted to email it to Carrie, even though she's on vacation, because she'll be teaching a journalism course this semester, and it's an interesting sort of concept.
Right. So did you want to explain it or do you want me to?
Sure, I can explain it. So basically, a professor in San Francisco had his students follow beats. And for those of you, most of you know this, but a beat for a journalist is sort of, you know, what they follow all the time. So your beat may be, you know, police, or your beat may be school district, or whatever the case is. So he basically assigned his students first that their beat was the campus, and he made them continue to blog. He followed the model of an artist, actually. Was her name Scodia, maybe? There's a link to it in the show notes.
Right.
But basically, this art teacher was the one that came up with the model, and she basically made her students paint or draw the same thing 100 times. And what she found is that the students, after the first few times, then started questioning what it was that they were actually drawing. And so it really put them through this process of discovery and rediscovery to sort of reflect on their work. And so he followed the same model, but with his journalism students, and had them go out and write or blog and take pictures and upload those to Flickr, and then come back into the classroom, and everyone would collaboratively sort of look at the writing, discuss it, pick it apart, and then the assignment was to go do it again. And he had them do this over and over and over for the campus, and then he extended it to Golden Gate State Park, and then he extended it to the whole city. So it was really interesting. And then they came back together and they put together Google Maps. So it was an interesting mashup of their writing and reflections on campus.
And I think that's what really kind of caught my eye was when I went to this page, and I was browsing through everything. I'm like, wow, look at, I mean, all these points on the Google Maps showing where they had done stuff was just really cool. I mean, I could totally see doing the same thing in Easton, pulling up a Google Map, sending students downtown, because, you know, we're talking about exposing students to Easton more.
Right.
I mean, it was just a really, really cool project. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes, because the URL is really long.
Yeah, it's way crazy.
So on a geeky Google note.
Big surprise.
Big surprise. And this really only affects Courtney. Because I don't have an iPhone. But macOS 10.5.3 is out, and it will sync your address book with Google Contacts. And this, I know this is a very specific story, but I thought of you when I read it, so I thought I should include it in the coffee break.
Oh,
but
thanks.
Basically, if you have an iPhone or an iPod Touch, and I don't know why it's limited to just people who have iPhones and iPod Touches, you can sync your address book with your Google Contacts, which is kind of cool. But the downside to this is that since Google Mail keeps track of everybody you've ever emailed, some people are having problems with their address book suddenly ballooning in size because now they have, you know, a couple hundred entries where they had a couple dozen before. I thought that was interesting. And I thought the thing that made me think about it was, well, gee, I wonder if some of the other things will be able to sync soon, like calendars, which is what I really want.
Yeah.
So I guess this is the long way of me saying, Apple, give me the ability to sync my iCal and Google Calendars.
Yeah, I'm sure it's coming.
In help news this week, one of my favorite websites of all time is back.
Yeah, you know, I actually got my start in web design with WebMonkey.
Really?
I did.
I think most of us did. You know, back in the day, I mean, a lot of people really went to WebMonkey. It was an awesome resource.
Absolutely, and it's back.
It is. And now, for those of you who don't know, WebMonkey was basically Wired.com's, it was a blog in the days before there were a blog, about web development, right? So it was all different techniques. So they would post stories about how to do something with JavaScript or how to do something with CSS, you know. different hacks, different tricks, different whatever. And then it just kind of died during the dot-com bust. I think around about like 2000, 2001, it just kind of petered out. And it's been there in limbo ever since. But now it has just come back strong at www.webmonkey.com. The new version is wiki-based, so anybody can go in and edit their articles and such. And it looks to be continuing, you know, pretty much what it used to do back in the day. So it's got downloadable reference guides on stuff like XHTML. It's got user-contributed and editable tutorials, and it has a blog about web design, tech news, that kind of stuff. So I'm just really excited to see it back.
Yeah. It makes me all warm and fuzzy, and they kept the icon, which
they
I did. Love.
They kept the little monkey with a wrench.
So
it's awesome.
Very cool.
So yeah, I mean, if you're interested in web design, you want to get your feet wet.
That's a good place to start.
It's a great place to start. So
yeah. Well, another help news. Just before I talk about workshops, just let you know that we are here this summer.
Yes.
We are here, and we welcome visitors, and if you have ideas for projects or things you want to work on, or just you want to stop by with a cup of coffee and chat, please come see us. We're in Skillman Library.
Yeah, and there's like nobody else here.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet.
It's really, yeah, it is. I mean, there's hardly anybody in the labs. I mean, it's a nice, well, I guess once the...
Yeah,
the
summer
Johns
will
Hopkins
kick in.
Students are here. Things will kick up a little bit. But...
They'll bounce volleyballs off the glass and things like that. It'll be great.
But that's when we get to report them to Catherine.
Sweet.
But anyway, yeah, it's a good time of year to.
Yeah.
I don't know if things have really slowed down for me, but the pace feels like it's slowing down because
right.
less people are bounding on our door. So if you want to come down and pound on our door, you're more than welcome to.
Yep. So we are trying to keep busy with workshops, and we are offering those at a pretty consistent clip throughout the summer. The ones that are most upcoming would be Microsoft Publisher on June 3rd, a Moodle Quick Start session on June 5th, recording audio and podcasts. So if you're dying to learn how to use this H2 recorder, sign up for that one for June 10th. Or if you're looking to learn about how to use Moodle for departments or organizations, there's one of those on, is it really July 12th? I think it's June 12th.
It's probably June 12th.
Yeah, June 12th.
Oops.
That's all right.
My bad.
So there are others throughout the summer, so please take a look at the workshop list off of its.lafayette.edu, and we'd love to see you in a workshop soon.
We'd also like to hear from you, so you can send us comments at itsblog@lafayette.edu.